How's it going? This is Scott Fish. I co-host a podcast called the Commission Impossible Podcast with Ryan McDowell. We don't exactly go over player values or dynasty trades or potential or rankings or mock drafts, and we usually don't even have guests. We just like to talk about commissioner stuff, so that's what you get. You can learn about lots of different scoring systems, interesting rules, settings, how to set up your playoffs, how to determine draft order, how to determine rookie auction values, things like that. Stuff that commissioners might be interested in, like rivalries or rolling bankrolls or salary caps. We also answer commissioner questions. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, check us out. It's a pretty good listen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Ryan Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Mike McKinnon, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session... Oh, man, I scrolled down too far.
48?
48 of the Trade Addicts, the DLF family of podcasts. And thankfully, my computer is working, so we could bring you this episode of the podcast because it was not being good to me. Usually Brian's the one with computer problems. I think they hooked up on the internet and you got me like a sexually transmitted computer virus.
I sent you a virus.
Yeah,
Ex Machina style.
Yeah, well, mine sounded sexier.
Ex Machina.
We have on today our first member of our patronage, our first Patreon member. There you go. If you sign up for the $5 a month tier, one of your perks, I guess the word is coming on the show. And Michael McKinnon, I've never called you Michael before, but I just did it now. Introduce yourself.
Hey guys, I'm Mike McKinnon. I'm in Trade Addicts 4. I guess I met you guys through Twitter. You guys were starting up the Trade Addicts leagues, and I was debating joining the first or second one, and then I finally, I think you kicked off 3 and 4, and I got in on those. And, I'm mainly just on Twitter delivering bad takes constantly.
Yeah, just like the rest of us. That's cool. Well, why don't you throw them your handle so they could follow you if they enjoy your bad takes?
For plenty of bad takes, you can follow me at Mike B. McKinnon on Twitter. And I'll usually comment on your trade. And Brandon Cooks over Kerryon Johnson every time, just in case it doesn't get said later tonight.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Yep. I think there's going to be a lot of Brandon Cooks talk because I think that's we bonded a little bit. Right as we started talking about the disrespect must end for Brandon Cooks, my computer started working. So I think we need to keep talking about it every once in a while just so my computer doesn't crap out again. All right, but let's, before it does crap out and before we derail even further, let's get into our little interview. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
I've been playing redraft for about 10 years. I think 2010-ish I started. When Jamal Charles was a thing.
Last year?
Yeah, right. with the Broncos that he was going to make a comeback. His last year, I think, was with the Broncos.
Hey, he was on the Jaguars for 20 seconds. How long have you been playing Dynasty?
Dynasty, not that long. Was it 2014? The Odell Beckham, Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin draft?
Yep.
And that was my first startup. Was that draft? So it was a good startup to get going on.
Yeah, on the open bar, where it seems like a lot of people got into Dynasty around that time because there's just kind of like, man, I drafted Odell Beckham. I don't want to get rid of him. I want to be able to keep him forever.
How it started for me was we had our redraft league, our home redraft league became a home keeper league, and then became a home Dynasty league, and just from there, because every year it's like, oh, I drafted Antonio Brown in the fifth round. I really wish I could just hold on to Antonio Brown for the rest of time. Unlike the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Damn.
Sorry, Brian.
He's coming at me already.
Sorry, Brian.
You should.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Brian, you should bleach your mustache. And
I don't have a mustache.
You can represent Mr. Big Test.
Well, kind of, I guess.
You got a little bit of a scruff going on. People would notice if you bleached it.
Damn. People usually always notice if you bleach your mustache.
Yeah, that's actually very true. I mean, I don't know many bleached mustaches outside of Mr. Big Chest, but yeah.
I believe we're still saying that nickname out loud.
It's ridiculous. It makes me so angry. I want to punch something, but I'm not going to.
Just imagine, like, preferably being called Mr. Big Chest. Like,
yeah, it's not a fortunate nickname. Like, he told the world, that's what I want to be called.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. So you've been playing Dynasty for a decent amount of years. You have to have some good and some bad traits that are worth calling yourself out on a podcast.
Are we going to start with good trades or bad trades?
Whatever makes you feel happy.
I tried going through some good trades of mine earlier this year. I couldn't really come up with too many. I traded Alshon Jeffrey for Nick Chubb straight up earlier this year, and I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's a good trade.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Another one I liked was I traded Allen Robinson for Amari Cooper. And at the time, it was when Amari Cooper's value was really plummeting earlier in the season with Oakland. And now Allen Robinson and Amari Cooper, their values seem to be going in opposite directions. Which is real odd because Allen Robinson is still young, still with, I don't know. It's just hard to figure that team out. And I think a lot of people are more on the Anthony Miller side rather than the Allen Robinson side.
So, Mike, you and I made a pretty large trade in Trade Addicts 4 at the beginning of the season. Actually, not even at the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the league.
Yeah. You won that Twitter poll.
I won the Twitter poll. I'll tell you what. I'm looking back at this deal, and I don't know that I won the deal.
Here's the thing. I called it. I said the trade was...
It was brand.
I shipped you DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, and I believe a 2019 second.
Yep.
And then in return, I got Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks, and two 2019 firsts. Or 2019 and a 2020.
Yep. 2019 and a 2020 first. Yep.
The 2020 is even better now.
Yep.
And I said Twitter's going to kill me for this because DeAndre Hopkins' side always wins on Twitter. Always wins.
I remember we went over that trade and we were all on the DeAndre Hopkins side.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember before the season started, there was this huge debate between Twitter of was it going to be the Tyreek Hill show or the Sammy Watkins show?
Because we didn't know if Tyreek Hill was the real deal yet.
Yeah. Which brings me, nice segue, into my worst trade ever that haunts my dreams.
Ooh, I like it. That was a wonderful transition.
It was. Take notes, Russ. Take notes.
I'm writing this down.
Allow me to set the scene. I believe the year was 2015, 2016. Tyreek Hill's first year in the league. What round was Tyreek Hill drafted in?
God, I don't even know.
That's awful. Fourth, day three pick?
Well, really late. He had the issue where he punched the...
Choked the woman,
right.
Choked his pregnant girlfriend, I believe.
Right.
So that's a reason, or one reason why he went later than his talent would have dictated. Tyreek Hill blows up, has a good week or two in Kansas City. There was another player that I was in love with that went by the name Dorial Green Beckham.
That man. DGB. Oh, yeah.
I traded Tyreek Hill two weeks after he blew up for an early second and won Dorial Green Beckham.
DGB. We've all been himself. There, man. But that I'll tell you what, of all the people that have come on the show and shared their trades that they regret. I think that one probably ranks up there with one of them. DGB, man. Oh, I had so many shares too. Oh, it was brutal.
And here's the thing too, is like looking back, it's such a horrendous trade, but in the midst of it, it didn't seem it was fine. It was, everything was okay. And then a couple years later, it's just, man, how did it go so wrong so quickly? Because that's the thing, is DGB and Tyreek Hill, to me, both had red flags. One was a day two pick in DGB. One was a day three pick in Tyreek. DGB had, in my opinion, better quarterbacks between Marcus Mariota and Carson Wentz. I cannot remember off the top of my head at what point he got moved, because he got traded to the Eagles. Tyreek had Alex Smith at the time. I'm building up this narrative in my head. He's a gadget player. He's a faster Cordarrelle Patterson. And it blew up in my face. Man, but I'm got like following Tyreek Hill from Brian, so everything's okay now.
Like, I'm following your story, and I'm like, I told myself all of these things in different times. Like, yeah, no, I.
So many players, you allow yourself to be convinced this player is a gadget player. There's no way this guy's going to be a wide receiver one. And none of us, I like a couple people on Twitter will claim they did. Matt Wallman can claim he did. Saw the hurricane that was Patrick Mahomes coming.
Yeah, like, no. Stompy too, man.
Yep.
Like,
God, I hate giving Stompy
came
credit,
out of nowhere.
But... Yeah, I'm pretty sure Stompy called him Jesus at one point.
Yeah, he did. That is. And even so inappropriate, even, Sam. Yeah. So inappropriate. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, on the field,
you maybe
may have a touch of them inside, but gosh,
it's like angels in the outfield.
Okay, like, we can edit this out because I don't necessarily care. I doubt anyone else cares. But why does Notre Dame have something called Touchdown Jesus, and that's okay?
Because they're Catholic, right?
Shouldn't they not be using Jesus lightly like that?
Probably not. Catholic. Yeah. Catholics so have you ever seen, have you ever seen what it is, Russ? Cause I've,
no.
Okay. So, they have a building. It's a Catholic university.
Yeah.
So they have a building that sits right behind the football stadium, mm-hmm. and on the side of the building, it's like a big tower building. And on the side of the building, they have a picture of Jesus with his arms raised like this. So they call him Touchdown Jesus because he overlooks the stadium.
But like, is
so
is
you can see like, him from inside.
It's not him. It's not him on the crucifix. It's just him going like,
it's just him like with his arms raised.
All right. Yo, I'm going to make Jesus do a touchdown symbol. It was Jesus doing open arms and it just happened to be a little too high up and it just worked out where it is.
Correct.
Jesus was
okay.
Just a huge
that makes a lot more sense to me.
Yeah, correct.
Rudy.
God, I cry every time I watch that movie. By the way, when
Joe Montana said Rudy was an asshole.
So I think I told you this. I think I told you this too. And sorry, we're like really derailing tonight.
Yeah, I've decided I'm not editing any of this out.
So it when the janitor guy or whatever, or the stadium groundskeeper or whatever. In that movie, after Rudy gets the sack and he like turns, spoilers.
After statute of limitations is
after
gone.
after he like turns and claps, the way he claps, man. Every time he claps, that makes me it chokes me up. Full disclosure.
All right, we're gonna move on. Just putting it out there.
Did you guys know that Steve Young was the great great grandson of Brigham Young?
Brigham Young University.
Really? Yeah.
I actually did not know that. Nope.
Yeah. Did you know that? You know that off the top of your head, or were you like Googling a quick fact while we were talking about other stuff?
I randomly won an autographed copy of Steve Young's autobiography a couple years ago off of Twitter.
That is a very random thing to win off of
Twitter. It is very random. And like that, like what's Steve Young on? ESPN, NFL Network, the morning Sunday show they do. Did like a Twitter contest, and I was at the gym running laps, And I was like, I saw it, and I was like, oh, and I retweeted it real quick. Yeah, won an autographed copy. Was like my life behind the spiral or something. Odd that like that.
A terrible name. All right, but let's actually talk fantasy football before we lose another listener. We have questions. We got a lot of good questions. We have a lot of tight end related questions.
Again?
Yeah, really. I mean, as I feel like it's the more I say I don't care about tight ends, the more tight ends questions we get. But Mike, you are our guest. Why don't you pick a question to go on about?
There's a question that I read and immediately wanted to comment on, and it is at Goat District. What's your favorite tight end to target if you miss or pass on the top three? Top three, everyone knows, Kelce, Kittle, Ertz. He says,
you
I like
said
Cooper.
Ertz, but you meant to say Ebron. I understand Ebron. The mistake.
Yeah, the ease. He says he likes Hooper and Vance himself.
All right, so who you got? Or are you asking us?
I'll answer first, or if you guys want to go first.
No, you go, man.
Okay. All caps, another E name, Evan Engram. Evan Engram going into last season. No. Let me finish.
Can I finish?
Evan Engram going into last year was pretty much universally top three tight end. Of those three tight ends, even the George Kittles in that class, of those three tight ends, those big three first rounders, and Njoku, Engram, and Howard, Engram had the lowest floor, at least, or the highest floor, excuse me, at least to me, was more obviously the receiving threat compared to the other two. Njoku was more of a raw athletic freak. OG Howard, strong tight end, more balanced guy. There's a ton of rumors going around right now of Odell being on the market. Can you imagine Evan Engram's value if Odell leaves?
I was going to say that is the only way you can sell me on this is if you're actually selling the idea of Odell being traded.
Do you have Ebron over Engram? Just out of curiosity.
He has Ebron over about every person on the face of the freaking earth.
No, that's a lie.
Ebron, and I've been like trying to get Ebron. I'm just worried about the return of Jack Doyle. Those white tight ends that Andrew Luck loves.
Rules.
It's Saquon Barkley, Patrick Mahomes, then Eric Ebron in a Superflex league. If not,
at least
not
you put
Saquon,
tight end,
Ebron.
At least you put Saquon up there.
Yeah. I got you.
Thank you.
All right, so Evan Engram. But okay, his price has dropped enough where I think I can get behind what you're saying.
Yeah,
I don't hate it for what I have to pay for him. And if Odell does leave, he is what he was 2 years ago, pretty much. I mean, maybe a little less because there's still Saquon. But still, yeah, I think it was before we started recording. You were talking about, like, what are you buying the Gazelle for right now? What are you buying Tevin for right now in hopes that little bit of something happens? Like, that is a prayer of a reason to buy Evan Engram right now. Okay, I have Evan Engram in Trade Addicts 4. I don't blush to say I do. Like, what are you going to throw at me to try and get him? What are you willing to spend to get him?
And a tight end premium league, what I'm going to throw at you. Here's one of my reasons behind it. A lot of people, rightfully so, are down on Eli Manning. There's a lot of confusion with what's going on with the quarterback position in New York. Kyle Auletta is not the answer behind Eli Manning. Whether or not they address it in this draft or through free agency is another issue. What I'm going to throw at you for Evan Engram is a downgrade at tight end and probably I think a late first. I'd feel comfortable throwing at you to get the conversation started.
How downgrade? Are we talking like Vance McDonald low? Or, I mean, I know he's saying he likes Vance, but he's still pretty low. Or are we talking...
I'd feel comfortable in a tight end premium league paying Trey Burton and a late first for Evan Engram.
I would probably take that. I mean, I'm not the biggest Trey Burton fan right now, but after seeing how they used him, but yeah. Trey Burton in a late first, I'd probably send Engram for that right now.
There's a lot of people last year going into the regular season last year who were all over Trey Burton. I think Trey Burton even got himself in the top five of dynasty tight ends heading into last year. Just because, you know, Matt Nagy, he's going to be, you know, Trey Burton's going to be their Travis Kelce, which Trey Burton didn't have a bad year. And a lot of people in Chicago, like Adam Shaheen, who was I believe a second round pick, for sure a day two pick a couple years ago, who's pretty talented himself. Trey Burton has the money, though. Trey Burton has the trust of the coach.
Still use Shaheen a decent amount once he got healthy at the end of the year.
Yeah. No, and I like Shaheen. If you can get him for super cheap.
Which you can.
He's someone you could target. But yeah, I feel comfortable giving a late first. 110.
And that's a downgrade. That's not the worst downgrade in the world. That's still probably 10 to 12, tight end 10 to 12-ish, maybe?
Yeah.
Burton? Brian, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, Engram had another strong finish, right? So the last 4 weeks of the season, he had 31 targets, and he had more than 75 yards in every single one of those games.
Without Odell.
Right. So if they move on from Odell, I love him.
I mean, I think, indisputable.
But here's the problem with Engram. I like Engram a lot. I think talent wise, I think he's an elite talent. I think he has the ability to be a top five tight end for a long time if they get a quarterback in there that can throw the ball around a little bit.
See, that's the thing. If they bring in a rookie, it's still an upgrade over Eli Manning.
I agree 100% with that. In this sense. And here's the other thing. You know, Saquon coming into that offense changed the short passing game, right? So Engram had a lot of opportunities last year where they dump it on a 5-yard out and he could use his athleticism to get up the sidelines. Or he could run against a backer in seams, right? Well, Barkley's the one getting those little dump-off passes. He's the one coming out of the backfield across the middle of the field on a linebacker now, or safety if the team is smart, you know, where he's getting those opportunities now and Engram isn't. And I think, you know, Engram in those last four games wasn't being used so much as a traditional tight end the way that they had used him, you know, his rookie season. He was more being used in a wide receiver role, like a big wide receiver role, right? So I don't know. I'm kind of in between, I guess, on him. Again, I think he has the talent to be a top five tight end. I really do.
Yeah.
There are other guys to me, though, like the other guys in that class, right? So those three tight ends that came out, it was Engram and Njoku and Howard. For me, I like O.J. Howard's situation a lot better.
Yeah.
Because Winston looks to tight ends. I mean, he's always had a thing with Cameron Brate. You know, I don't think that Cameron Brate's going to be in Tampa too much longer, to be honest.
I think he's gone.
They signed him to that huge extension. But
it was front-loaded, and they can cut him for nothing.
Exactly. They can cut him for nothing.
Yeah, didn't mean to cut you off on
that. No, that's okay. You're absolutely right, though. I mean, that's exactly my thoughts, too. You know, so if that's the case, you know, and I know everybody's a little bit worried about Arians and his usage or non-usage of tight ends. He has never had a tight end, or he didn't have a tight end in Arizona that was like O.J. Howard. I mean, O.J. Howard is another one of these guys. All three of those guys are elite athletes, and have the capability of being top five tight ends. It's just a matter of situation and opportunity. And I think, you know, Engram, the situation isn't great. The opportunity's there, but the situation isn't great. So I don't know. I might lean more towards a guy like Howard in that case. Or even Njoku. Njoku hasn't shown it yet. The other two have kind of shown it. he hasn't, I mean, he's had some splash plays, but he hasn't put it together several games in a row, or for half a season or whatever. Now, again, until Baker stepped in there in week, whatever week he stepped in, he hasn't had a quarterback either. So, you know, it'll be interesting to watch that relationship develop and see how those two interact moving forward and whatnot. But I do like Ingram. I think, you know, he's a buy for me right now because his value has dropped enough where I think you can get him for decent price. I don't think you would probably have to pay as much as Trey Burton in a late first. I think that's a fair price. I think that's a great price. I mean, I would probably consider buying him for that, but I don't think you'll have to buy him for that. I think you might even be able to get him a little bit cheaper, given especially if Eli Manning is named the starter again in New York this year.
Yeah. We've been talking about Evan Engram too long. I'm finding myself in Trade Addicts 5-6 and Cartoon Do-Gooders 2 jumping on OJ Howard or Njoku right before, like I talked about last week, that like round 7-8-ish wide receiver group I love. Right before that is when I've been grabbing a tight end. If you want to wait even longer, I mean, everyone and their mother is on Chris Herndon already. But still, if you can, you might as well. You're still getting him really late, even though everyone is all about him. Usually you'll draft him and then everyone in the chat will be like, oh, I was going to take him this round. Of course they were. So yeah, if you think you want Chris Herndon, take him like a half a round earlier than you think you need to, and everyone's going to be really pissed about it. Okay. But I do also like Hooper, by the way. I was a fan of him when he got drafted. Then they didn't use him whatsoever. And it seems like every year he's getting a little bit used more. That was terribly worded. They're using him a little more every year, and he got good usage. And just because of how much of a dumpster fire tight end was, it, you know, he ended well. But I still think it's going to get even better. We will take another question that starts with tight ends and then moves on. Oh, crap. It has Evan Engram in it, but let's just do it anyway. I'm going to butcher this name. At Ziados Joe. Sorry, I'm sure I screwed up your last name, man. So Joe, he wants to know, what is Trey Burton's worth in a half-point PPR? Would you trade Corey Davis for Evan Engram? What is Deion Kane worth? And then he says Rex Burkhead and Kenneth Dixon. So let's take this one at a time. We were just talking about Trey Burton, half PPR. I mean, if there's no tight end premium, do you care at all about Trey Burton? Late second.
That was where my head was too. Mid to late second. Mid if you really need tight end help.
You might even talk to the pit.
Trey Burton's in that tier where you can be flexible and go after the cheapest of your options. Trey Burton, according to February ADP, is floating at 14 behind two incoming rookies and Rob Gronkowski. And Rob Gronkowski is valueless right now in Dynasty.
Yes, for reals.
People are insulted if you include Rob Gronkowski in any deal, even if it's just a, hey, I'm going to drop him if you accept this, so you should take him. People are insulted that you would include Gronkowski.
No, you keep him and just send the offer without.
And Burton is four tight ends are behind Gronk right now. So, yeah, you can be a little more flexible. Go after your cheaper option in that tier.
All right. Would you trade Corey Davis for Evan Engram? No. I don't.
No.
Honestly, I don't care. Unless it's two tight end with double tight end premium, yeah. But if it's 0.5 PPR, even if tight ends get an extra half, No. Corey Davis, way up.
Yeah.
Deion Kane. I love Deion Kane as a sleeper, I guess you can call it that, because I think everyone's sort of excited like about the idea of the Colts wide receiver too. And, I mean, Clemson wide receivers always get that hype behind them. So I like Deion Kane. What his value is, it still shouldn't be more than a third. But I would send that third to get Deion Kane just for the shot at it.
If I'm sending out a third, I'm going to send it for a random running back. I'm not going to send it for, was a sixth round wide receiver? And if Deion Kane wasn't with the Colts right now, would we be having this conversation?
Clemson wide receiver, I'd still do it. I mean, I still have a few Sharon Peak shares.
Yeah, I had tons of Sharon Peak shares. I would tweet at Jets beat writers asking, how's Sharon Peak looking? And they're like, who's Sharon Peak? You write for the team. You know who Sharon Peak is. He's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Jets wide receiver one.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Rex Burkhead and Kenneth Dixon. Do you care about either of those? Kenneth Dixon. Why haven't the Ravens given up on Kenneth Dixon yet? I don't get it.
Why hasn't all of Dynasty fantasy football players given up on Kenneth Dixon yet?
Because the Ravens haven't. That's the only reason I could think of that, and because we're stubborn a-holes.
Yeah, but Gus Edwards was starting over him.
Once Dixon came back, he got his play. Gus fits very well with Lamar because when you have a running quarterback like that, all you need is a bulldozer that can run straight. Kind of why Alfred Morris did well with RG3.
Yeah.
So I'm.
Alfred Morris, also Kyle Shanahan in Washington. Every running back does well with Kyle Shanahan.
Everything's a circle. It's like a carousel. Round and round, up and down.
Flat circle.
All right, yeah, we talked enough about that. And Brian just got back from his pee break, so we can move on to the next question.
Woo!
At Trivia Minds wants to know trade ideas to Woku, because this is a tight ends podcast, apparently.
Yeah, what is up with that, man?
I don't know. So many people. All right, so we're going to assume tight end premium. Well, I guess we could do both, because Njoku's a guy that, yeah, like you said before, he hasn't really proven anything too much yet. He's still the guy you want on your team because he's in that upcoming offense and he has the athleticism. Tight end premium, I think you need to send a mid first to get him. Without a tight end premium, 110 to 112-ish for me. Like, that's kind of what I feel his range is. What about you, Mike?
Yeah. David Njoku's the youngest of those three tight ends that came out. David Njoku's, I believe, still 22. The other two guys are 24. He's tied to Baker Mayfield, tied to that Browns offense. Everyone's super optimistic about both right now. So acquiring him is going to be a little tougher than trying to buy him. That's why I'm a big Evan Engram fan right now, is no one is really optimistic about that offense, even though they're optimistic about the pieces in the offense. But 22-year-old athletic freak tied to Baker Mayfield, let's face it, second or third on the list in line for targets over there behind Jarvis Landry. He's gonna be a little expensive. I think you're looking at mid like 108-ish. Are we talking? We're talking Trade Addicts tight end premium scoring.
Yeah. A little bit of both. You know, just because he didn't specify, so I figure I said both.
I think that optimism the lack of weapons and that passing game. I think Duke Johnson was fourth or fifth in targets for that team last year. And is Duke Johnson going to be on that team this year? He's going to be the odd man out once Kareem Hunt gets back. And I think a potential Kareem Hunt suspension is the only reason Duke Johnson sticks around after that acquisition. Yeah, I'm gonna say 108 and that 1.75 trade X tight end premium scoring. I'd feel comfortable paying that.
Mm-hmm. Brian, did you answer? I forgot.
I did not. I'm with you guys. I mean, I think, you know, tight end premium, I'd pay as high as maybe the 108-ish in a tight end where it's just regular PPR or whatever, I'd probably it would be a late first, 11-12. Just because tight ends.
Yeah, if it's not the top three, then it's right. Whatever.
Right.
You realize there's Three Iowa tight ends in the top 13 of ADP right now, and two of them aren't even in the league yet.
Yep. I'm okay with that.
So am I.
I mean, no. The problem is, call Dynasty a long-term game all you want. ADP is absolutely recency biased.
Yeah.
And, you know, ageist.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, but I still completely agree. All right, hold on. Let's pull up. David Njoku has an ADP of 81 in DLF. I'm guessing I'm on February ADP. I guess that's what it defaults to. Who is actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 spots below Evan Engram? I would take Njoku over Engram straight up. Thoughts? Yes or no? How about that? Which one?
I'm taking Engram over Njoku.
Same tier, who gives a crap? Is that the kind of look you're giving me, Brian?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so let's go different positions. Okay, hold on. Rookies, Hakeem Butler or David Njoku?
Hakeem Butler. Easy.
He's bigger than David Njoku.
Easy.
Yeah, is that a different position?
Yeah, I know, right? All right, so let's
just wait on him. Just
Kenyon Drake or David? Kenyon Drake or David Njoku?
David Njoku all day.
Njoku. Yep.
Yeah. Anthony Miller.
Njoku.
I think I'd take Anthony Miller.
I would probably take Njoku in the Trade Addicts leagues.
True.
With tight end premium, I would take Njoku there.
All right. Will Fuller.
Njoku. I see. I'd take Njoku there.
But I'm a huge Will Fuller guy.
If that dude can stay on the field for 12 games, I would be sold on him. But
and that's what you have to, whenever you go into valuing it, you have to assume that you can't, like, it's hard not to. But whenever you calculate the risk of injury so much and to the value of a player, you have what happened with Keenan Allen a couple years ago, where Keenan Allen was falling into the late second sometimes in startup picks and startup drafts. And Keenan Allen is a stud who should never be disrespected in such a manner.
Yeah, but Keenan Allen's injuries were completely unrelated and weren't of the same type at all whatsoever.
But when it comes to Dynasty Twitter, though, do they care? All they see is the amount of games played that year.
All right, we're not going down that rabbit hole right now. I see what you're trying to do, and I don't like it. All right, so that was our David Njoku talk. We're just going to completely change topics before.
Next tight end.
I'm trying to see if we actually have another tight end question or if we're going to actually pivot to another. No, I think that is all of our tight end questions.
Yes! So let's go.
Knock them out.
Let's go to the next position I don't really care too much about. At Bird Dynasty, Dirty Bird Dynasty wants to know, are we buying the hype on Lindsay or does Royce Freeman really pose much of a threat if we think Lindsay is the real deal?
Is anyone optimistic about that offense? Going into next year with Joe Flacco and maybe Drew Locke, the offensive line is decent. Wide receivers are Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton.
I love those guys.
I like
finally going to stay healthy.
I've been trying to sell Deshaun Hamilton everywhere I can. I'll hold on my Cortland Sutton shares, but no, I'm not buying the Philip Lindsay hype. I wish I had Philip Lindsay on my team only because I would get so much joy for selling him for a first.
I couldn't. I tried so hard this offseason. Yeah.
Maybe it's a Jerick McKinnon thing.
It's funny. Like, everyone is saying that he's worth the late first. He's worth a first. He's worth a first. He's worth a first. Try and sell him. You cannot get a first. I had to throw him in a late second to get a first. Like, I had to, you know, I had to sweeten the pot to get the 108.
Yeah.
So, I think. But okay, let's stick to the question. Like, are we buying the hype? I don't think there's hype anymore. He's a good football player. The fact that it's a new coaching regime scares me for an undrafted free agent because he was really, really good. Don't get me wrong, but that we've seen better players get thrown to the wayside for less reasons. And it's supposed to be a very bad wrist injury he had. While I get it has absolutely no bearing on actually running the ball, holding onto the ball is pretty important. And I mean, I was a Royce Freeman fan coming in, And I'm not going to completely write off the guy because of the crap he went through, stacks, boxes, and stupid coaching and all. But yeah, I'm more of what you were alluding to in the first place. I'm more staying away from that offense right now than anything else. So, I mean, does Royce pose a threat to Lindsey? Probably not. But I mean, I'm not necessarily, maybe now is going to turn into a time to go by Lindsey in case you, if you do believe in him. Because if you can get him for a late first, early second ish, like I kind of sold for, it's worth it. If
and that's a
solid RB2.
That's the thing. The majority of people who have Philip Lindsey didn't invest a lot to acquire him. A lot of times he was going in the late fourth, early fifth, sometimes undrafted in some of these startups, depending on how many rounds you have. So it's not like trading for some of these players where they can immediately respond to, well, no, I invested a first-round rookie pick in him, so I'm going to need at least that to get rid of him.
Kind of like why you can't trade Corey Davis.
Exactly. Or you couldn't trade for Kevin White year two or three.
Or four.
Or you still can't have my Kevin White shares.
Yeah. My cold dead hands kind of thing.
Speaking of free agent wide receivers, Kevin White to the Colts. Let's go.
Ugh. Oh, all day. Let's do it. I love how the Colts is turning into the new to the Patriots, even though to the Patriots is still a thing.
Well, it's because they have so much money. I mean, they have 120
and
some
a very
million
big need
dollars.
At wide receiver too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We haven't talked about any trade addicts trade, so I want to do that before we jump into another running back question. Well, we've been talking about Tyreek Hill a bunch, so let's jump into the Tyreek Hill trade. This is Trade Addict 6, because that does in fact exist.
Woo!
Tyreek Hill for the 112, Mitch Trubisky, and Will. We were talking about Will Fuller also. This is like a bring it all around kind of deal.
It's all a flat circle, man.
Yep. All right. So let me actually read that again. Tyreek Hill for the 112, Mitch Trubisky, and Will Fuller. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12 team, super flex, tight end premium, PPR, 0.05 points for return yardage. Mike, you're our guest, and I've talked about half these people already. What do you think about this one?
0.05 for return yardage?
Yeah, it's in our league too. Dang. Check the rules, a-hole.
Check the rules. I'm a huge Trubisky fan. I get tangled up in narrative. Here's how I convince myself to take the Trubisky side. It's super flex. Having a guy, like, you're going to start Mitch Trubisky just about every week that you have him, depending on what your team makeup is. Will Fuller, I love him. Tied to Deshaun Watson, that offense. Kiki Cutie, slot guy. Stop with the Kiki Cutie's going to take Will Fuller's job. I love Kiki Cutie.
Each other,
I think
to,
so, too.
Like, and the 112. Those three receivers are a perfect receiving core.
Yeah, I think
clearly
100%, especially with the lack of any decent tight end. And the 112, I feel like I'm doing this as like a stipulation in a Shark Tank deal. If I can flip this 112 for a 2021,
it's a trade addict league, man.
Yeah, if I can flip the 2021 or the 112 for a 2021, I think I would take the Trubisky Will Fuller side. Trubisky's going to be a starting quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years, and in the super flex league, that's a ton.
Even over Tyreek Hill, who is a late first, early second kind of startup draft pick? I mean, that's like one of the biggest questions I get that are around on Twitter a lot is quarterbacks versus actual players.
Yeah.
And it's always tough to do because it's always a lot of its feel, a lot of its personal preference. I mean, I'll throw it out there before we ask Brian because he's in the league too, so he... whether he remembers or not, who knows, but I was in this trade. I traded away Trubisky.
Yeah.
In both Trade Addicts 5 and 6, the startups that are going up right now, I drafted three quarterbacks in the first 4 or 5 rounds. It's just because they seemed like, and it wasn't for this purpose. It wasn't to trade away. It just, they seemed like the best value at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think it was Adam Wilde who I did this with.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any quarterbacks, I don't think. So that's why he was throwing Tyreek into on the block to try and see what he can get out of it.
Yeah.
And I think this was even pretty close to my first offer right to him. Like me and Adam, it's really annoying. It's like with me and Brian, like I can never win a trade. They always end up being way too even for my liking. I think this is a perfectly even trade.
I think it is pretty even.
Quarterbacks always have the value in Superflex. Again, if you think about it, like this is during the startup we did this. So Trubisky's drafted in like the fourth round. So a fourth round startup, Fuller is probably like a sixth or seventh, and then the 112 to get you up to that second.
And I feel like Will Fuller is still being valued lower because of being injured over the past few years.
Like what we think his value would be if he, after he played a full season, what would Will Fuller's value be?
Or even what his value will be, let's say like in July, let's say early August, gearing up for the regular season.
Week five, if he stays healthy those first five games.
He's got first round pedigree. He's tied to Deshaun Watson. You normally would love a receiver being described that way, but because Will Fuller has been injured, he's just discounted so much right now, and it's hard for me not to buy Will Fuller in a lot of places.
All right, Brian, you've been sitting there silently. What do you think about this one?
Oh, man. So I think the value is probably on the Tyreek side slightly, but I don't know that I would rather own him than the other pieces in the deal. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I don't know. I'm kind of here's the other thing. I'm probably higher on Mitch Trubisky than most people are.
That is true. We went into last season with me being the highest of the two of us on him. And then as time went on, I think you got higher and higher and I kind of settled down a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think I think he had a pretty good year this year. I think he'll improve in his second year in that offense.
And I'm going to cut you off and I'm going to do it on purpose this time.
Yeah.
You people on the internet need to stop with this Blake Bortles 2 thing. Just knock it the hell off. You do not insult the truth biscuit like that.
No, that's silly.
Let me inject something here. Tyreek Hill, after this year, is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City has salary cap problems with a quarterback on a rookie deal.
And they're not letting him go. They're going to pay him $150 million if they have to.
And if because they will not let him go, will they let Tyreek Hill go?
And that's a great freaking point, Mike.
This is 2020. This is 2020. This is his last year. Like
he's going to want big money. I mean, he's producing as an elite wide. He does. Absolutely. Absolutely. The way he's performed the last two seasons. Absolutely.
I got it. The one person I'm okay. Buffalo Bills. Give the fastest man in the league to the dude with the strongest arm.
That would actually be kind of exciting. Tyreek Hill and Josh Allen. Josh Allen escaping the pocket constantly, similar to Patrick Mahomes.
And just closing his eyes, throwing it as hard as he can.
And Patrick Mahomes in the same sentence.
Okay, not as hard as he can, because he would just throw it over the rafters. So,
but here's the thing, is Tyreek Hill could be cut right now, and it would cost the Chiefs $18,000. $18,000. Because Tyreek Hill was drafted so late, he's going to want a bunch of money. Kansas City's struggling over whether or not they can re-sign D4.
But I would pay him through his rookie contract because, you still get to use him in that season, and maybe you find a trade partner that's able where you're able to actually get something back for him. I wouldn't just flat out cut him, especially when it's only going to save you $18,000.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's a great point, Mike. I actually wasn't really in tune with that, with his contract. So, that's a really good point. And that'll be something that's really interesting to watch, in KC here over the next, year and a half to see what ends up happening with that situation. That's a really great point. Thanks for bringing that up. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I think Tyreek is a hell of a player, but I think we can all agree that a good chunk of his value is tied to Patrick Mahomes in that offense.
Yeah, I can. Thanks for ruining my trade, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's cool. Tyreek's not going to make it through the season on my team anyway. Let's be
honest. Yeah. Well, here again, Russ. I mean, I think the value's on your side based on current values.
Yeah, current value.
Right.
All right, I might need to try and trade him away before the end. Before I post this pod, though. All right. I said we were going to go back to running back questions, so let's go back to running back question. At IDP underscore dude, what to do with Melvin Gordon in Dynasty? Hold? Maybe sell and get out a year early? I don't know why I always like overemphasize question marks.
A year early?
I forgot what someone on Twitter asked me, like, crud. No, it's gone. My answer to this guy's question when he was talking about some sort of running back was, you know, what do I do with this guy? And I said, you always sell productive running backs. And I mean, that's still my answer here. Melvin Gordon, who I legitimately do like as a player. I mean, Brian and I, we passed him back and forth a few times. He hasn't finished a season recently. He doesn't seem to hold up to the workload that they give him, and he's great during the season when he can handle it. That worries me. And he is also in line to get paid. And do the Chargers do that with, I mean, not to say Justin Jackson is Melvin Gordon, but they have Austin Eckler now where they can do the thunder and lightning thing. I sell Melvin Gordon now in afraid of him getting hurt another end of the year or not getting signed and going to a new team. And you can still get a lot for him because he's a first round startup pick at this point, if not very early second.
Yeah, no, he's still in the top 12 of startup ADP right now. And he's been there for the past year or two.
And you're getting at least two early firsts for him, yeah, value wise, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't own him anywhere, I don't think, but I'm pretty sure I would sell him now if opportunity was there. Brian's thinking. I love watching Brian's eyes move when he thinks.
The biggest I definitely move my eyes when I think. I think the biggest thing for me that's a concern with Gordon is where he's going to be, because again, he's another one of these guys that's coming up on a, you know, is he going to want Lev Bell money?
He's going to want and deserve starting running back money. The thing is, the team that's at least, you know, the team that's going to pay that is going to use him like that, assuming he does get that money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing you can sort of take solace in, no matter where he signs, assuming he signs for the contract he sort of deserves.
Right. So he'll get that usage. This season's his last season on the deal, right?
Correct. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So this is his 26-year-old season. So they're going to assign a guy heading into his 27-year-old season, right? He'll be 27 the year that he's signing the new contract. So
yeah, he turns 26 in April.
Right. Right. So he'll play this year at 26, next year, which would be the first year of an extension or a new contract with a different team, at 27 years old. Are you going to pay that guy that type of money at a position where he gets the crap beat out of him every game? I don't know.
We really need to see. I mean, Todd Gurley, we need Lev Bell to make to get signed already so we can start saying, are you going to pay a guy?
And like, here's
that's
the thing,
really
too.
What we need.
And here's the thing, too. They, you know, everybody goes, well, Gurley got his money. Gurley was 24 or 23 when he got his money. Like, that's different than 27.
On a team with a rookie quarterback.
Exactly.
And he, you can't call Melvin Gordon the main piece of that offense.
I mean, he's a big part of it, but I don't.
Well,
yeah. I mean, there are other
still centered around Philip Rivers.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. 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 But that's what I'm saying. Like, all these guys want. Well, Todd Gurley got this. Well, Todd Gurley is 4 years younger than you with, you know, 750 carries less than you and doesn't have an injury history like you have. I mean, both of those guys, Bell and Gordon, you know, so it's not the same thing to me. And I don't know that franchises are looking at it that way either. So that concerns me. The injury stuff, I mean, yeah, he hasn't made it through a season, but it's not like it's hamstrings and goofy the thing stuff.
Is, it's always at the end of the season, so it seems like it's a wear down thing.
I don't care when he gets hit with a helmet to the knee like that. This year, it was a helmet to the knee, and he sprained his MCL. That could have happened in any game all year. That didn't have anything to do with wearing down. The hip injury the previous season, I understand that argument.
It was an ankle the year before.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember that specifically. This year, I mean, again, a helmet to the knee that hyperextends the knee. I mean, that can happen week one.
You could tell he was getting tired, so he put his knee in the way of that guy's helmet. I saw it.
He just threw his leg out.
He's like, no, I don't feel like doing this anymore. Here you go, man. That's what happened.
Melvin Gordon is underappreciated as a dynasty asset, though.
I think he's made it to where he's appreciated, but up until this season,
he's appreciated by the people that own and draft him. Yes. He's not appreciated if you're trying to move him.
They're pretty consistently owning and drafting him in the first round of startups, though. I was having this argument a couple of years ago, and I 100% agreed with you a year or two ago.
Yeah, I think it's finally caught up.
Yeah, in the past year and a half, he's been consistently in the top 12 as far as ADP. There's other running backs, I think, that are being undervalued, but Melvin Gordon, I think his value is right where it should be.
Okay, so that's enough about Melvin Gordon. Since we're talking about injuries, let's use that to pivot to M. Giraldi wants to know which player coming off significant injury will present the buy opportunity for 2019. And he lists a couple of the obvious guys: Hunter Henry, Darius Geis, Jerick McKinnon, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Darius Geis.
Yeah.
I want him everywhere I possibly can have him. And I don't even give a shit about the offense.
We talked about this before because of really bad offer I got for Darius Geis. He has an ADP of 31 right now. Is that real for you? Like, are you?
Absolutely.
Darius Geis or Kerryon Johnson?
Darius Geis. All day.
Le'Veon Bell.
I mean, probably Bell. Is it really? I like this guy, man.
We just got off a conversation about a running back with injury concerns. Melvin Gordon may have injury concerns. Le'Veon Bell has injury concerns and character concerns. And he has no team. And he has proven that he's willing to just sit out, to just not play. Give me Darius Geis over Le'Veon Bell right now.
Yeah,
right,
see,
last
that
one.
That one is a little bit tougher for me. I think the other guys, go ahead and ask who you were going to ask, because I think you're probably going to say his name.
Dalvin Cook.
No, that's not who I thought you were going to say.
He's
probably
the next guy in ADP.
Yeah, I'd probably take Cook. I'd take Cook at this point because it's damn close. It's damn close. I'd take Geis over Sony.
Yeah, he's the next person down who was going to be Sony and Leonard Fournette.
Yep. I'd take him over both of those guys.
Yeah, I'd take him over both of those two.
So,
not to the fact that guy is 2 years younger than Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there. Is anyone actually on Devontae Freeman?
I wrote his name down to the answer to a couple of these questions because I'm like dipping my toe in that pool and I'm still trying to figure out how it feels.
It has to be late. It has to be very cheap. If I can get him for late seconds, mid seconds.
Like, Tevin's gone. We can all assume that Tevin's gone.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to bring in a running back. They have some other needs that they need to address. Jerick Cutter's an upgrade to offensive coordinator, even if he's
Brian would
a bad
be an upgrade
in your mouth.
On offensive coordinator.
Give it to Saquon. That's my playbook.
Yeah. Trade Saquon to Atlanta. Sell Devontae. Yeah.
Who needs Matt Ryan? That's fine. Yeah.
No.
I like Devontae Freeman if I can get him very, very cheap. His lower body worries me and his head worries me. So I'm okay with his torso, I think. Is there anyone on the top of your head that wasn't listed so far? Either of you?
Yeah, my problem with this question is Which player coming off significant injury will present the best buy opportunity for 2019? Darius Geis at his price right now, you're not really getting an injury.
Yeah, you've lost your window on Geis.
Yeah. So a guy who I've noticed when I send some feelers out as far as a guy that I can get for kind of cheap is Cam Newton.
Yeah.
There's a lot of uncertainty going on right now. Similar surgery to what Andrew Luck had. A lot of people are real nervous about it. I think if you send some feelers out for Cam Newton, you'll be pleasantly surprised at how cheap you can acquire him right now.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think I need to try that then, just because I'm bored and I like doing that. If there's no one else, Brian just highlighted a question from at Sports Savvy, our boy from TradeAddicts 3.
Yo, Savvy. I'm representing with the Lava Hot Takes.
Lava
Takes Only t-shirt Lava on the show takes. Right now.
Top Shelf, so, DFF. Go check it out.
Shout out. Podcast. Yep.
This is the only question that I prepared for tonight. So
you prepared? Good for you, Brian.
I actually did on this.
Your most sought after under the radar off-season buys. His are... Well, I mean, Adam Humphries, I don't know if he's really under the radar in our world, but maybe to the real world. Yeah. And then he wrote Nelson Agholor, which I just gross. So, Brian, you prepared. Who did you have written down?
Well, here's the thing. So under the radar to me doesn't necessarily mean completely off of the radar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So this is a person. This is a player that's outside of the top 100 of ADP is the way I look at it.
Okay.
So that's how I'm going to answer the question.
I have one guy in mind, and I really hope you're not going to take that away from
me. The guy that I'm looking at is Michael Gallup in Dallas. Okay, no. This is a kid who, you know, he had some steam coming into the league a little bit, I guess. And then Amari Cooper comes, right? Like halfway through the year and balls out. And Dak gets a lot better. And obviously the Cooper addition and then, you know, the Cowboys paying a first round pick for him and all that. And he's our unquestioned number one and all that stuff. I think it helps Gallup. I really do. I mean, and it's not like he's not getting opportunity. You know, he had one really bad dud of a game where they lost 23-0 to the Colts in week 14, where he didn't get targeted. But outside of that game, he had five or more targets in every single game after week 10, six or more in most of them. So that's actually not true. Week 15, he had four targets. So apologies, but he's getting targeted quite a bit in that offense as a rookie. So, you know, and then he comes out in the playoffs and he had 15 targets in two games, nine targets in the divisional round against the Rams, and he caught six passes for 119 yards in that game. So, you know, I think obviously Amari Cooper is the number one in that offense, the number one wide receiver. But I think Gallup is a guy that people aren't really thinking a whole lot of right now. I mean, I'd say most people probably aren't selling him for anything less than a second because that's probably what they paid, and he's only coming into his second season. But if I can get him for a second right now, I think that's a guy I'm going after for that price. So
yeah, I mean, that's pretty brilliant because when you think about it, Dallas drafts Michael Gallup and his rookie ADP skyrockets and half of Twitter's freaking out because they're like, he's not a number one. He works. Maybe he'll get those targets, but he's not going to do anything because he's not a number one. He's not a number one. He's not a number one. Well, now he's not the number one and he has some experience in the league. This is what you wanted for Michael Gallup. So, yeah, wonderful, beautiful call. I love it.
Thank you.
I pulled up my Trade Addicts 4 roster and found like four guys that I kind of wanted to list. I, along with Terrell Williams, I'm buying up Chris Conley everywhere. He has always been the athletic guy that can't get on the field because Kansas City keeps paying other wide receivers, and Tyreek Hill. Curtis Samuel was actually getting a lot of targets at the end of the year, and he is, again, another crazy athletic guy on a team that's going towards multi-use players, we'll call them, because calling them gadget players isn't fair, especially because you can't really call Christian McCaffrey gadget player. But, you know, him, DJ Moore, and Curtis Samuel, they're all multi-use players. Quincy Enunwa, purely based on Gase liking to use slot receivers. And if you're not going to buy into Robbie Anderson, who else is there?
I was just doing a Gase impression.
Yeah. I always wish there was a taco floating around my head. And speaking of Gase, where he just left, Albert Wilson is, I mean, that's really not under the radar anymore, because I think everyone's sort of like the same thing with Humphreys. Everyone's sort of bought into what he is. And this, well, with Albert Wilson, it's really a lot of the situation also. Like, Devontae Parker's probably gone. Kenny Stills, I think, can be gone or is gone. I don't remember anymore. Who else is there?
Danny Amendola can be cut very easily. Maybe with no dead money, I'm pretty sure, going into this year. And yeah, and there's Kenny Stills. And what, Leonte Caroot.
Yeah. I forgot that was the thing.
Yeah. Miami is the land of things that were once things. is that it for you, Outhouse?
Yeah, I'm good. You go.
Couple guys that I had listed under the radar offseason buys. I don't know if all of them are necessarily under the radar, but they're guys I've noticed that I can get for pretty cheap because the eye isn't on them right now. One of those guys is Jordan Howard. Dirt cheap right now.
For good reason.
Because, yeah, for good reason. But here's the thing. We always talk about players heading into free agency. After 2019, Jordan Howard's headed into free agency. Jordan Howard will be a 25-year-old running back who has shown more than just flashes and headed into free agency at the age of 25 after the 2019 season. So go ahead and buy him now when his value is dirt cheap. Another guy, a little bit older, just inside the top 100, is Marvin Jones. Everyone is on the Golladay train, and the Marvin Jones train is very empty, and we would like more company.
I'll still call this a Marvin Jones podcast, so
yeah,
you're in good company.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I like Golladay, but the hype is getting unreal. And a lot of people are forgetting about Marvin Jones and that he's still a thing and that he's talented. Sammy Watkins. Hear me out. Sammy Watkins will be on the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm not going to fight you.
I bought him for Dante Pettis in a third, and I'm very happy with it because Sammy Watkins will be on the Chiefs catching passes from Patrick Mahomes in 2020, and we're not sure that Tyreek Hill will.
I mean, I don't even need that kind of speculation. If he's on the field, he's worth it.
Exactly.
When he was healthy, they were in the playoffs. They had a good rapport. Yeah. So, I mean, with how little Watkins has been on the field already, if, again, like you with your Will Fuller, like if I can get 12 games out of Sammy Watkins, yeah. I'm thrilled. I mean, I paid the 110 for him.
Yeah.
I'm still ridiculously happy about it.
Yeah.
So like you said his name and you just like went, whoa, all right, come at me.
Because a lot of people are done with Sammy. A lot of people are done with Sammy Watkins. A lot of people are done with Jordan Howard. But I think those are really solid buys. I put his name on there just because I always think if you can get any of the Patriots running backs for a third or a late second, you should do it. James White. A lot of people are focused on Sony Michel.
I'm so angry at James.
Gronk is, are we going to say done? He hasn't officially announced it yet. But if you've watched any of Gronk this year before the playoffs, he looked pretty done. Like, mm-hmm. If he were a steak, I'd send him back. So, nice. Yeah, I'm trying to get James White because there's going to be some targets freed up in New England, and I think James White will be there to catch him.
And I'm just bitter because I had a pretty strong zero RB team with him going, getting me 28 points a week. And then all of a sudden Rex Burkhead and Sonny Michel get healthy. And then I got 8 points a week out of him. It's a good idea what you're saying. I hate him right now.
Yeah. No, I have a very similar story, but in a redraft league that was 16 team. And yeah, I had James White, was going well. Drafted Gronk real early in that league too. And yeah, didn't end well. I made the playoffs, but didn't win. And if you ain't first, you're last.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Except for me, I got third place with that.
I was high off cocaine when I said that. You can be second. Hell, you can be third.
That movie is amazing. Amazing.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're talking about low range guys. Mr. Joshua R. at FF Mercenary. My bad. I just butchered your handle. Is Antonio Callaway a buy or a sell? He just acquired 2 shares from a contender at the end of the season last year, and he's thinking about selling. Well, I mean, for his specific case, depends what you bought him for, really. We were talking about the Browns offense and how we think. What was that look? What'd you do?
I bumped my stand again.
So again, we did not hear that. I'm glad. Your face was the thing that completely distracted, at least
It's really loud in my headset, so that's why apologies. I'm glad you can't hear it.
I mean, now I wish I can, just because now this seems like a silly conversation that I'm drawing out.
I heard it.
All right. Well, I'm glad one of us did, which kind of makes me concerned for my headphones. Antonio Callaway, Brian.
Yeah. Another weapon in the Browns offense, the rising Browns offense, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what to think about these receivers yet. He's there. Higgins is there. Perriman is there. You know, which one of those guys is going to be the one that kind of catches on? It looks like it might be Callaway.
Well, at the end of the season, he remembered that when the ball comes to you, you close your hands around the ball, and then you don't just let go.
Right.
Like once you remember that you're supposed to like catch the ball and not just drop it. He's another one of those guys that was talent, but red flags off the field
issues.
Right.
So, do they bring in another pass catcher? Probably, but I mean, I bought in a decent amount on Callaway because you bought him with a third in the draft. Right. So if you can get what could be first round in the third round, just because the dude likes weed, you hope he puts it away for his career. I don't think you should sell him. If someone's dumb enough to give you a first, I'd sell it. But otherwise I think I'd just hold. Cause I mean, who in this draft that you're going to get at 207 it has more upside than what could be the deepest deep ball receiver in an up-tempo offense, like what the Browns are going to be. Up-tempo, up-and-coming. I always screw those up. Like, yeah, I don't think I'm selling Callaway for what I think he's going for right now. Would I use Callaway to upgrade another receiver? Like, if I could throw a low-end wide receiver two in Callaway and get a solid high-end wide receiver two, yeah, I'd do that. So it depends how you're looking to do it, I guess, is another way to say. More than not, I'm probably holding. But if I can make my team, again, if I can use them to upgrade, yes. If I'm just selling him for something else, probably not. You guys have any strong feelings?
That's kind of how I feel, too. I mean, I'm not, it's kind of like a hold situation. You know, I mean, if I could get an earlier second for him, I'd probably do it just because I'd use that. I think, you know, the allure of those draft picks, especially as you get closer to the draft, somebody's like, oh, an early second. Yeah, you know, I can grab somebody there that's going to drop or, you know, especially in a super flex league. So, you know, I would probably do that. But yeah, 207, I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of meh.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Speaking of meh, we're going to go over our other Trade Addicts trade. We have from Trade Addicts 2.
Just because you weren't involved doesn't mean you have to meh the trade.
I'm meh-ing it because
it's a bit almost said
David.
It's a bit of a meh trade.
Hashtag meh trade. Derek Carr for the 107. Now, Derek Carr hate has gone very, 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 very far on Twitter, where there was that one troll dude who was saying that he wasn't even worth a second or something like that. Shout out if you listen. Keep listening. I love you, buddy. But you're very wrong.
I'm pretty sure that was...
I think he said
I'm pretty sure that was John Gruden.
It may have been, to be fair. But you figure he'd be trying to bolster his value so we could trade him or something.
That would be smart, though.
Chucky took the keyboard instead of Gruden.
I was at the Senior Bowl sitting behind the Gruden side, and there was a group of about 15 bro-ish dudes just chanting Chucky. And John Gruden entertained it for a bit.
Ugh, what a weird dude. All right, but task on hand. Derek Carr, the 107. Clearly tight end. Not tight end. Super flex. That's the words that matter. Yeah. What do you guys feel about it?
I feel if I can get a starting tight end or a starting quarterback in a super flex league for 107.
Same thing I did.
Yeah, this is your fault. If I can get a starting quarterback who I think is talented, and I think is getting a lot of blame put upon him that isn't deserved. I'm taking Derek Carr at that price. I'm not in love with Derek Carr, but I like Derek Carr. I hate the situation. There's no wide receivers. I'm pretty sure Jared Cook's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So who's he going to throw to? The corpse of Marcel Aitman season. And Marcel Aitman. Yeah.
Are you buying into any of this? They might trade him, or I think he's somewhat cuttable. Like,
do trade him, that's great. Can his situation get worse than the horror show that was Oakland's offense last year before they traded Amari Cooper? Before they got rid of that offense was bad before they traded Amari Cooper. So now we're going without Amari Cooper. Jordy Nelson's a year older, without Jared Cook, still no running back. They blew that first round pick on Colton Miller. It's an upgrade. Like, is there a worse spot in the league right now for Derek Carr to be other than Oakland?
Miami?
Miami.
Buffalo.
Yeah. But
well, I mean, they have a quarterback. I was going for a team that actually needs a quarterback.
That wouldn't make sense.
Still sucks. Only Buffalo always sucks.
I'm 100% convinced that Miami is burning it down.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so it wouldn't make sense for them to acquire a quarterback.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, so let's put it this way. There's a good chance either Haskins or Kyler Murray will be around at the 107, because would you rather have one of those or Derek Carr?
Oh, Derek Carr. This quarterback class is not good. This is a terrible everyone always goes in super flex leagues, players get pushed down because of the amount of quarterbacks that get taken early on. I was in a startup or a rookie draft mock for DLF for super flex rookie, and I got Drew Lock mid second. Yeah. And Drew Lock is projected to be, if not a top 10 pick at the quarterback position in the super flex league, Drew Lock is projected to be a first round pick just because how needy the league is for quarterback play. And I was at the Senior Bowl. I liked Drew Lock going in, and I was really disappointed.
Nothing good came out of quarterbacks in the Senior Bowl. So I think that was one of the biggest problems. I think prior years, there's always been one that sort of did something to help themselves.
This past year, we had, or the year before this current year, we had Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Kyle Lauletta blew it up.
Exactly. And
real good with DJ Chark, but I'm rambling. This is not a good quarterback class. I would prefer Derek Carr over every quarterback in this class. That includes Dwayne Haskins, that includes Kyler Murray, that includes Drew Lock, that includes Will Greer.
You were heavily nodding, Brian.
I think there's a real possibility that both Murray and Haskins both go in the top 10 of this draft. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a terrible quarterback draft, I agree, Mike. I think this year is a bad year you know, especially when you're talking about a more traditional quarterback in the NFL mold. But again, there are quarterback needy teams, Jacksonville, New York, Oakland, if they move on from Carr,
Washington.
Exactly. I mean, there are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Miami.
And they don't wait around, even if the class sucks.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So their next year's class is a lot better. But
EJ Manuel.
But teams don't have exactly.
EJ Manuel drafted in the first round.
Yep. That's a great example. You know, teams don't wait around for the next class. They go get a quarterback if they believe, you know, if Haskins throws the ball well at the combine, I do too. And I think he's got the body. He's got the body of work in the 1 year that he was a starter.
He's Alex Smith. Like, I think if you throw him in a West Coast offense, I think in New York, he could do well. If you get him a lot of like short to medium rounds, throwing the Saquon coming out of the backfield, he's Alex Smith. He's real conservative, but pretty accurate. Big body.
And yeah, Smith,
I think that's a ceiling.
And Smith went with the first overall pick in the draft when he came out. So that, you know, I think it's likely that two of those guys, and to me, it's those two probably, go in that top 10 to 12 picks. If they do, they're going to get the opportunity to start in those offenses. And I would take the risk, and it is a risk. The safer play would be Carr over one of those guys. But I'm probably not playing Carr as my quarterback one in a super flex league. So I'd rather have the upside of one of those other guys, I think, you know, especially if I have other options on my roster. So,
but that's the thing, though. If you're acquiring the 107 for Derek Carr, are you spending that 107 on a quarterback? Or are you going to take one of those wide receivers? Are you going to take a Josh Jacobs, a David Montgomery if they fall? Or are you going to try to trade that 107 and hope to get draft fever to upgrade from Derek Carr?
I mean, I'd probably take one of the skill position players that's not a quarterback.
Yeah.
But
and so let's say, like, what skill position players are going 107 right now? Like,
it's a little early.
For the tight ends, but you're looking at a wide receiver. I think, like, depending on like landing spots, like, do you feel comfortable taking like a Marquise Brown, a Rodney Anderson over Derek Carr in a Superflex league?
Yes.
Yeah,
I do. I do.
Depending on landing spot.
Two bad people for me. Well, especially now with Hollywood and the Lisfranc surgery.
Well, those are players that are in the top 12 of rookie ADP right now. In a super flex league, you're taking one of those players over a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I was on Derek Carr before. Mike's talking, he's convincing me that I still think it's Derek Carr.
Yeah. I mean, the value says it is. I mean, quarterbacks in super flex leagues are,
it's really
see, John. Well, and Russ, how many conversations do we have with John Hogue about quarterbacks in super flex leagues? Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that of course is like a big flashing neon sign, you know, that's always there. But I try not to get sucked into that when I'm just trying to compare player values. Now, having said that, I think you can probably get more than the 107 for Derek Carr in a super flex league.
You should.
So, you should.
Right.
Especially, so this is the 2019 class. People have been pooping all over this class for more than a year.
Yep. Yep.
You said pooping. All right, we're going to move on because I'm getting
tired.
It
said it was safe language on iTunes. So.
Yeah, we do stick with... Yeah. Speaking of safe language, we're going to wrap up this show with a game of floater, sink, or pinch. Our version of keep, trade, drop. If I'll run through it once, but in case you need, on the show sheet, I wrote which is which. Actually, I think Brian did that last week. Floater is the guy you're going to trade away. You're going to float a trade out. Sinker is the guy you're going to drop. Pretty self-explanatory in that one. Pinch, the guy you're going to hold on to. And since we've only been freaking talking about tight ends this entire show, I picked the top three tight ends.
It's appropriate.
Yep. Zach Ertz, Travis Kelce, George Kittle. Mike, floater, sinker, pinch.
This is pretty easy for me. Floater, Kittle. What he did was amazing. I'm a Niners fan saying this. By the end of the year, they were force-feeding him targets. They knew he was going for the record. They were force-feeding him targets. They came out and said they were force-feeding him targets in the last game. What happens when San Fran actually gets a wide receiver?
When Antonio Brown goes to San Francisco.
Even if it's not Antonio Brown. Let's say it's maybe like if Kelvin Harmon falls to the second. Or like just one of those, like Debo. Like Kyle Shanahan really liked Debo at the Senior Bowl.
I would love that.
What happens when a wide receiver goes? What happens when Marquise Goodwin actually plays this full year and Dante Pettis isn't banged up the entire year? And those are only minor receiving threats in Marquise Goodwin and Dante Pettis, in my opinion. What happens whenever they get other talent there and they're forced to spread the ball out and they get Jerick McKinnon, who they were excited about going into the year? Is George Kittle going to be that weapon? And Kyle Shanahan's history, whether it be at Washington or whether it be in Atlanta or whether it be in Cleveland, you can trace Shanahan loves his wide receiver ones. In Atlanta, it was Julio. In Washington, when he was there, Pierre Garçon led the league in targets. He loves his wide receiver ones. Kittle just happened to be his wide receiver one this year because they didn't have any receivers. That's why Kittle's my floater. Moving on, pinch, holding Kelce, tied to Patrick Mahomes. He was tied in one even if Patrick Mahomes didn't turn out to be Patrick Mahomes. You have to hold on to Kelce. Ertz is my sinker only because the uncertainty at the quarterback position and Dallas Goedert being better than Trey Burton, who he replaced. I wouldn't be surprised if they let Ertz go sooner rather than later, only because of Goddard being pretty good.
Well, at the end of next season, I think he's owed literally a truckload of money. I think they have to back a dump truck up to his house and just...
And they got rid of Trey Burton, brought in Dallas Goedert, and Dallas Goedert, he's been startable in fantasy leagues his rookie year as a tight end with a tight end one ahead of him, if not the tight end one, on a weekly basis ahead of him. And so the worry about Goddard and the money's owed changing situations makes Ertz my sinker.
All right. Brian.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to be boring here to end at the end. I have it the same way for pretty much the same reasons. I mean, you know,
so this wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be.
Damn. Yeah, no, I
you should have put Evan Engram in there, man. Well, Evan Engram in there.
Yeah,
floater, sinker, pitch.
What we should have done was
Engram, OJ Howard, and David Njoku.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, so let's do it since that's less boring. Brian. Floater, sinker, pitch. Njoku, Howard, and Engram.
Yeah, so I would probably... Oh, man. I would probably hold...
What are you going to do?
OJ. Huh?
What are you going to do?
I'm probably going to pinch.
There you go.
OJ Howard. Oh gosh, man! I don't know. That's so tough. Actually, okay. So I'm gonna go away from that. I'm gonna say I'll pinch Evan Engram. I will sink Njoku, and I will float Howard.
Trying to translate mid, like float equals his.
So my
get with the lingo, Mike.
Yeah. So just because I do think I don't think if you move Evan Engram right now you're getting what he can be in terms of value wise. I think Howard is the closest to that in terms of where in terms of getting value for where his value is or could be coming into the 2019 season. And then Njoku, again, it's always hard to the sinker player is always the hardest one in these because none of these guys are guys that you'd love to drop, but you know, he gets it because I'm a Steelers fan and he's a Brown. So what do you think about that?
Hey, oh, it's because I'm a Steelers fan.
You do you, man. To me, Engram is the easy sinker in this. I like you said, you're not going to get the value for him that you should in a trade. And again, like what needs to happen for him to really give to produce for you isn't probably going to happen.
They just
Odell Beckham is probably not getting traded.
But if they draft a quarterback, man,
it doesn't matter. Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley,
but he produced as in his rookie season.
What if they trade with?
What'd you do?
In my excitement, I brought it back to the beginning of what if they trade Odell?
Yeah, I'm not going to buy it. I don't think it happens. I think Engram's the easy sink here. Honestly, I think right now, I think OJ Howard has transcended the Arians narrative of not using your tight ends. So I think he's my floater. And I'm going to pinch Njoku because that's pretty much been my stance this entire show. So I might as well stick with it. So where are you at, Mike?
This one's tough. There's two camps in the O.J. Howard field. There's the Bruce Arians doesn't like tight ends. And then there's the Bruce Arians has never had a tight end like O.J. Howard. And for that reason, he's my drop. Because I don't feel like figuring out which one you are. And frankly, you're wasting my dang time. I stick to my guns. Engram is my pinch because Odell Beckham will be on the 49ers next year, going 250 yards both games against Seattle. And my sinker is Njoku, which hurts me because Njoku, like, I think potentially could be second on that team in targets.
Why do you have to throw the dig at Seattle in there completely unwarranted?
Because you were wrapping up the show, and I just wanted to make sure real quick to twist that knife. Yeah.
I feel it. And, man, that was going to be nice to you, and now I'm not going to do it. but, yeah, no, it is late, and I need to go to bed. So we are going to wrap up. Thank you, Mike, for coming on. You were a most excellent guest.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to be, I want to be like Mike. If you want to be like Mike, become a patron, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can, I was going to say earn a guest spot, but it's not really earning anything. You are more or less buying a guest spot. So yeah, why not? Go for it. And you also get access to the awesome Cool Kids Club. That chat is awesome.
A very fun chat.
Yes. A lot of great dudes. A lot of trade talks. Man, if you need, yeah. Like if you are in one of those situations where the only people you talk to are people in your league, oh man, Joy, you get in it on this chat. And I have the issue where I'm in a league with almost every single one of these people, so it's a little tough. But yeah, I still ask questions because people in there.
I was going to say, if you need a safe space away from people in your leagues to discuss trades on a group meet, the Cool Kids Club is the place. Because I'm pretty sure I'm not in a league with anyone, so I can just toss out offers and not be worried that, oh, the guy I'm making a trade with is in this.
Yeah, there's a lot of trade addicts in there, which means I'm in a league with just about every single one of them.
Yeah.
So that's a little tough, but I still don't care because they're smart, so I go to them anyway. Throw your Twitter handle, just in case people like you. I don't know why they would, but...
Yeah, no, because everyone hates Evan Engram.
Evan Engram might follow you after this. Yeah,
exactly. I hope so. At Mike B. McKinnon on Twitter for my trash takes and my really good Evan Engram takes.
At least really positive Evan Engram takes. I don't know if they're good or not. Mm-hmm. We released a new shirt today.
New merch, yeah.
There's two trade addicts drafts going on, and they're slow drafts clearly, but you still have a bunch of people that are rushing you along. And if you're one of those people, I'll be like, dude, it's a slow draft, and dude, it's February. Why are you rushing me?
I have kids. Leave me alone.
Yes.
Hashtag team slow draft is the shirt. And on the back, it says in all capital letters, it's only February with a bunch of exclamation points. So if you want to get down on that, tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com, pick up that or hashtag never veto because never veto trades, or just any awesome trade addicts garb, if you will. Brian, you ever get your rankings up on DLF?
I did. Yep. I updated them, I think, a week and a half ago.
About
so,
damn time.
Yep. And I'll probably I'll probably be tweaking them here soon, too. So. Yep.
You're going to start beefing up Evan Engram now.
Yeah. Got to move him up.
Go check out Brian's Superflex 2QB rankings on DLF. Add him with everything you disagree with, because I like what Brian's been getting worked up on Twitter lately, and I love it. So keep it going. otherwise, good night, Brian.
Night, Outhouse.
Later, Mike.
Night, Outhouse.
Night, Mike.
Night, Brian.
But say he wasn't going to say goodbye to you. That's pretty messed up.
I always say goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Zion the Outhouse and at Brian Har. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.